The morning today's daf in Baba Kama is daf Lamed Hey. We're a little bit behind. We're in the Mishnah Lamed Alam and Aleph. We're starting today. Shor Shava Masayim. It's the first Mishnah on the right in the middle of the Amud Lamed Amud Aleph. Thank you for the foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Zechon Nishmas Libik Gavriela Bashmuel. We are starting today with the following. Shor Shava Masayim Shinaga Shor Shava Masayim Vein Anivela Yafiklum. So the numbers over here the Mishnah presents to us are very easy and very straightforward. The damaging ox is 200. The damaged ox was 200 before damages. And it was damaged to the point where not even the carcass was worth anything. So it went down from 200 down to zero. So total amount of damages is 200. And so now we know that the animal that damages the top, so the owner of the animal has to pay half damages. So half of 200 is 100. That's good. Mathematically, we're in wonderful shape right now. These are very easy numbers. Amar Meir Alzed Namar. So Meir says, this is going to be a perfect illustration of the Pasuk in the Torah. Meaning the Pasuk in the Torah that described the Nezek of Tom goes on to say, that you sell the animal which is alive, meaning the animal that damaged, that did the damage, and you divide the money. So now it's going to be that according to Rabbi Meir, you're always going to pay half damages. It's just what we're looking for right now is a perfect illustration of the Pasuk in the Torah. Meaning the Pasuk in the Torah is giving us a formula in terms of how to half the damages. A way to half the damages is by selling the animal, and each party is going to be collecting half. So this is it, meaning this is the perfect illustration. So the Amalei Rav Yehuda v'chein halacha. So Rav Yehuda says, you know what, Rav Meir, you're right. Meaning the conclusion you have is right. But that's not a perfect illustration of the Pasuk. Because what you did is you explained the first part of the Pasuk. What you did not do is you didn't explain the second part of the Pasuk. So kiyamta machus ashur achai v'chatzus kaspo. So good. So the first part of the Pasuk, you're right. You sold the animal that did the damage, and you half the money. That's good. However, lo kiyamta v'gam ha-meis yechatzun. So, but what the Torah then goes on to describe is then that the dead animal, you also divide the dead animal as well. Now, according to you, you don't divide the dead animal. Now, it happens to be dividing the dead animal over here is going to be pointless because the dead animal is valued at zero. And zero divided by zero is zero. Zero divided by two is going to be zero. So so you haven't done a good job in terms of explaining the second half of the Pasuk. Although, again, Rav Yehuda is not arguing with the conclusion of Rav Meir. He's just arguing what is exactly the Torah describing. So the Gemara says, Ve'ez is a... So I'll tell you now, this is Rav Yehuda speaking, what exactly is the scenario in which the Torah is describing the perfect division between the damager and the damaging? Shor Masayim Shenagach Shor Shavah Masayim. I am. So we're going to start off with the same two animals. The damaging animal is 200. The damaged animal was valued at 200. Vanavela yafeh chamishim zuz. And its residual value as being a nevela, the carcass, is going to be 50 zuz. So now a total of 150 worth of damage. Here it is. Here's now going to be the perfect illustration where the damaging animal is 200. The damaged animal is now valued at 50. There is 150 worth of damage to speak about. And so now, if each party would sell both of the animals, both the live animal and the dead animal. Now the live animal is 200, so half of that is 100. The dead animal is 50, half of that is 25. And each party is now going to be able to collect 125. So this would be a perfect illustration of selling both the live and the dead. So zenoto chatzi achav v'chatzi ames. So the Gemara says, that's it. Meaning that would be the case. Now it doesn't mean, according to Rav Yehuda, that you're actually going to be selling the dead animal. Meaning that the sale of the dead animal is not a requisite over here in terms of the division. It just simply means that we're looking at a case in point in which you would see the pasuk play out. That if we were to sell the live animal and we were to sell the dead animal, then we would have a fulfillment of the pasuk. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off with the Braisa. Now the Braisa essentially is going to make the same point that the Mishnah has made. Shor Shava Masayim Shenaga Shor Shava Masayim Ve'Nefela Yafeh Chamishim Zuz. So let's say that each each animal is worth 200, and one animal damaged the other, and the resulting animal, the damaged animal died, now valued at 50. So each one of them now is going to be getting half of each. And this is the shor mentioned in the Torah. This is the words of Rav Yehuda. So obviously the Braisa is a perfect complement of what we learned back in the Mishnah. Meaning Rav Yehuda's position is it's going to be in this scenario where you're going to have an illustration of the case in point of dividing both animals. Rabbi Meir Omer ain zehu shor amor b'Torah ela shor shav matzayim v'shenagel shor shav matzayim v'ena yevela yafe klum. And Rabbi Meir in the Braisa, again complementing what we learned back in the Mishnah, is that both of them are valued at 200, and the value went from 200. The damaged animal went from 200 down to zero. Al zen amar machrus shor achay v'chatzu is kasbo. So here now $200 worth of damage. The animal is a tom, so therefore you're going to be paying half damages. Half damages of 200 is 100. So alamani. Now this is the part we didn't get in the Mishnah, meaning that if you subscribe to Rabbi Meir, what do you do with the second half of the pasuk? Meaning that was exactly Rabbi Yehuda's point to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. You explained the first part, but you didn't explain the second part. Now in the Mishnah, we didn't get to see a response by Rabbi Meir. In the Braisa, we now get to see. So the Gemara says, "P'chashe p'chsu misa mechatzin b'chai." So the Gemara quotes Rav Meir's response to Rav Yehuda, and that is, if there is depreciation, so that depreciation is going to come out from the dead animal, and that's going to be split. Now, exactly what's meant by that, and this at this point in time is not perfectly clear. Stay tuned as we're going to explain. Mirti. Gemara says, "Ben Rav Meir, Ben Rav Yehuda, Hai Meir Ve'Esrim V'Chamishim Shakal, V'Hai Meir Ve'Esrim V'Chamishim Shakal." So the Gemara says, when all said and done, you know, each one is going to be walking away with 125. And the Gemara says, and to that, that in and of itself would be very good. Meaning, remember, the scenario is in which it was at 200, it knocked down to 50. Now there are 150 worth of damages, and the responsibility to pay half of that, which is going to be 75. Each then is going to walk away from the entire incident with 125. Meaning because the damaged party had an avail at 50, he's going to be receiving an additional 75, which is half damages, so he's going to walk away with 125 from the total. And the damager is also going to be walking away with 125 from the total. And the truth of the matter is that Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir both agree with that conclusion. So when all said and done, meaning, what have we gained from this entire discussion? We learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Braisa, but ultimately, when all said and done, we're all basically arriving at the same destination. The damager is going to be paying half damages. Period. It's really that simple. So the Gemara now wants to know. There seems to be a lot of debate, both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. It's the same debate, and meanwhile, it doesn't seem to result in any nafkamina. And that's difficult. That's not how it works. If you have a machlokas atanayim, they got to be arguing over something. So the Gemara says, "My beinayhu."
Is it 75 and 75, and the remaining 50 split 25 and 25? That's only 100.
Meaning, in the case constructed of both animals were 200, the damaged animal went from 200 down to 50.
So
it went down to 50. To $50. $50 residual. So now that's $150 worth of damage. So then there's a requirement to pay from the damager to the damagee, 75. Half damages. So now, right. So in other words, so if you were to just it's just a formulaic way to arrive at the point where the damager is going to end up paying 75 to the damagee. If you were to split both animals, in other words, sell both animals and split the proceeds of both animals, each party is going to be receiving 125. But ultimately, it's just a fancy way of saying that the damager is paying half damages to the damagee. It's just a fancy way of doing it. And so what the Gemara wants to try to wrap its head around is, what's the difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir when ultimately we all know what's going to happen? We all know what the destination is. So what are they debating? Mm-hmm. The Gemara is going to make two attempts to explain what the difference is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. First attempt, the Gemara is not going to like. Second attempt, the Gemara is going to be a little bit happier with. So the Gemara says, well, perhaps the difference between them is p'chas nevela. Now, as we've discussed this before, let's say the animal that was damaged was killed, and it went from 200 down to 50. Now, we know the nature of a carcass is that it deteriorates. and it's going to decompose. And so right now, immediately after death, the carcass is worth $50. But if you let it sit around a little bit longer, it's going to keep going down in value. And by the time we get to Beis Din, it may go from 50 down to 40, may go down to 20. And eventually, it's going to decompose to the point of totally rotted carcass, and it'll be valued at zero. Who is responsible to foot that bill? Is that part of the responsibility of the mazik? Is that part of the responsibility of Nizak? Or perhaps, there's a third option, and that is that they split the difference between the depreciation of the animal fresh carcass versus by the time we get around to going to Beis Din. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the difference between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. So Pchas Nevel Kabinayu, Rabbi Meir Sover Pchas Nevela Denizak Havei. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that the Pchas Nevela is fully the responsibility of the Nizak. Meaning, even though he was the damaged party, but basically we say to the Nizak, look, the damages are done, his obligation is set, now the rest of it is up to you. Meaning you now have to take this carcass as quickly as you can, sell it, and recover whatever you can recover. But if you wait and it depreciates any amount, very sorry, but that's going to be your loss. So that is Rameir's position. And Rabbi Yehuda suffered b'chas nevela d'mazik havei palga, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. This is what the second half of the pasuk is intimating, and this is what that last line of the brisa meant. That according to Rav Yehuda, the mazik is going to have to burden half the share of the depreciation. So that if the animal goes down in value post damages, the mazik is going to have to shoulder half of that responsibility. So Amar Leim Bai Imke Matzin L'Rav Yehuda Tam Chamor Mimuad. So the Gemara says, now if you're right, and if this is the correct interpretation of Rav Yehuda, so now you're going to walk away with a very strange conclusion, and that is that we're going to illustrate scenarios in which the tam, where the Torah only wants you to pay half damages, is going to come out to be more stringent than that of muad, and it's going to be an impossible conclusion, and that's what's going to end up leading the Gemara to give a different shot in the machlokes in Rameh and Rav Yehuda. But let's illustrate some examples. V'chite ma'achinami. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, maybe the premise of the question is totally wrong. Meaning, maybe, okay, sometimes time is going to come out to be more chamer than muad. Maybe even just that assertion is not crazy. And the Gemara says, and to support the idea that it's not crazy, consider kiddinan. Now this we're going to see in the sixth parak of Bava Kamma, meaning later in the Masechta, but we're talking now about Shmira, the requirement to guard and protect your animal. And we're going to learn in the beginning of the sixth parak of Bava Kamma that there is this idea of Shmir Pchusa and Shmir Me'ula. There is your basic your basic protection that you afforded for your animal so the animal will not break free and damage other people. And then there is Shmir Me'ula. There is a higher level of Shmir, and we'll talk later on in terms of the specifics. But at what point are you free and clear from liability? And that we'll learn later on is a machlokas in the Mishnah in terms of what kind of shmirah you needed to provide for your animal so that in the event that something happens, you're going to be free from liability. And Rav Yehuda Amar Tam Chayv Amud Pater. And Rav Yehuda has a shita, and it's Rav Yehuda, by the way. Same Rav Yehuda we're discussing right now. Rav Yehuda has a shita later on, and when we get to it later on, we'll try to explain it. But in the meantime, here's all we need to know. That according to Rav Yehuda, if you gave minimal amount of shmira for your tam, you're going to be liable. If you gave the same minimal amount of shmira for your animal, which is a muad, you're going to be exempt. Now, we don't have to understand why right now. And again, we'll try to explain it later in the Masechta, when we start the sixth parak. But for our purposes, all we need to know is that according to Rav Yehuda, minimal shmira for a tam is going to hold you in liability. Minimal shmira for a muad is going to exempt you. So now you see clearly that we are sometimes can be more machmir by a tam than we are going to be by a muad. For reasons which we're not explaining right now, but doesn't matter. At least you see it's precedented. So the Gemara says, "Amar d'shamas l'Rav Yehuda l'inyan shmira d'ksivei cry." So the Gemara says, "Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. Rav Yehuda's position is that we're going to be more machmir by tam than by mu'at. But that's only as it relates to shmira. And there are psukim that are going to support that distinction. But when it comes to tashlomim, it can't be. It can't be that we're ever going to be more stringent by tam than that of by mu'at. And even Rav Yehuda is going to agree to that, as the Gemara is about to show us. And the Gemara is going to illustrate. V'hatanya. Consider. Rav Yehuda omer yachol shor. Let's say I have two animals. The damaging animal is valued on 100 zuz. The damaged animal start off being valued only at what the Mishnah, what the Brice over here describes as 5 salaim. 5 salaim is equal to 20 zuz. Right, 5 times 4. So it's equal to 20 zuz. Okay, so already a huge discrepancy between the animal that's damaging and the animal that got damaged. The damaging animal starts at 100, the damaged animal starts at 20. Vanaveli yafis sala. And now, in terms of the residual value of the animal, the residual annual value of the animal is at 1 sala, meaning 4. So it went from 20 down to 4. So that means that there are now 16 zuz worth of damage. And so now, what are we going to do? Are we going to split the difference of both animals, meaning that the animal that is damaging is valued at 100? So each one of them is going to get 50. The residual value of the damaged animal. The residual value of the damaged animal is 4. So that means that each one of them is going to get 2. So each one of them now is going to get 52. So. And that means that for an animal that was valued to begin with at 20 zuz, so you're telling me that if we apply the formula of splitting both animals, so the damagee is going to be awarded 52 zuzim. Hey, right. Now, so Rav Yehuda tells, Rav Yehuda is basically saying it cannot be. Meaning, if the damaging animal was a mu'ad, so you're going to be maxing out at 20, or in this case 16, because that's the amount of damages that were done. And if it's a tam, do you really mean to tell me that the damaging party is going to be receiving 52? 32 more than its original value? Can't be. So the Gemara says it can't be. So vizenota, And just to make the point strong, Rav Yehuda says, what do you think? Do you think when the Torah introduces us to the idea of muad, it's there to be machmir, to be mekel? It's a setup question. So omer lachmir alav. It's clearly muad. You're going to be more machmir. So uma muad ena mashalim ela mashu shehizik. Now when it comes to muad, so you're only going to pay for that which you damage. In this particular case, that would be 16 zuz. So if the damaging animal was a muad, you'd be paying 16 zuz. Tam hakala kol shekain. Here, you're certainly not going to be paying more than 16 zuz, and quite frankly, you're going to be paying 8. You're going to be paying half the damages. But using the formula of selling both animals and dividing the sale of both animals, clearly in this illustration, is not going to work. And this is all Rabbi Yehuda talking. So, basically, what the Gemara now is arguing is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it cannot be that tam is ever going to get greater than that of mu'ad. And so therefore, what the Gemara now has just simply rejected is the idea that if my animal that damages a tam, not only am I going to be responsible for half damages, I'm also going to be responsible for p'chas nevela. Can't be. Can't be that by tam we're going to be machmir than that of mu'ad. Ela Amrav Yochanan, Shevach Nevela. So here now we're going to give now a second answer, and this answer the Gemara is going to like. And this is going to be the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And that is the following. Let's say after the damage was done with the carcass, let's say the animal goes up in value. Now it's unusual, admittedly, where you have the carcass of an animal and somehow the market on carcasses spiked. Okay, I understand it's unusual, but listen, markets are funny. Markets go up, markets go down, and we're discussing now a scenario in which, after the damage was done, so there was a spike in the sale of carcasses. And so now, does the damager, the mazik, Can he now say, look, I know at the time of the damages, here's how much it went down. But subsequent to that, you know, your carcass went up a little bit in value. Can the mazik enjoy some of that appreciation? Is the question why? Yeah, that's it.
He has no bailus.
He has no bailus. So, what Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue is, from a logic standpoint, absolutely correct. From a drasha standpoint, that's what the Torah is teaching us. Meaning, gzeiros hakasuf. That's what the Torah is telling us, is that the mazik will have shears in that animal, even though, in a chinami, meaning...
How is this from yesterday's case where, you know, the mazik says to the nizak that, listen, you know, your value of animal went up, so I don't shouldn't pay any damages.
Right, but we're talking now about after the damages were done. So this is a change in market. This was a change in market after the damages were done. All right, let's see. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan Shevach Nevela Ika Benahu Demar Savan and Nizak Havim Mar Savan Paga. So Mar Savan, Rav Meir's of the opinion, Nizak. Meaning, the damages were done. Okay, you have to pay X. And that's it. And it's fixed. And the fact that the market changed and the carcass market changed, so according to Rav Meir, you stay out of it. That's my gain, that's not your gain. Good. And according to Rav Yehuda, fascinatingly enough, interestingly enough, you're going to have to pay, the mazik is going to be able to benefit from that appreciation. And he's going to be able to benefit half of that appreciated value. Behind the kakashu, the Rav Yehuda. Hasha, damar chas rachmani alavei the mazik, the shak b'shivcha, yachol, shor shava chamesh laim, shenaga shor shava manem. Now let's illustrate this in the following scenario. Let's say that the animal that did the damage is valued at 20. Okay, so this is going to be a nice case where you have a small animal beating up on a large animal. Right, this would be somewhat more unusual. But the animal that did the damage is 20. The animal that was damaged was valued at 100. Vanaveli afechami shimzos. And now its residual value is going to be 50. So in other words, the animal that was damaged went from 100 down to 50. So there are 50 zuzim of damage that needs to be paid. But remember, this is Tom. And because this is Tom, so how much the mazik is responsible to pay half those damages, but half those damages equal 25. And the damaging animal is only valued at 20. So, and remember, you always cap the mazik at the value of its animal, which in this case is 20. Chamishim zuz. Zenato chati chai v'chati ames. Zenato chati chai v'chati ames. So, amart hechem atzina mazik niskar. So, over here in this scenario, now if you were to sell both animals and distribute half of the sale to both parties, so you're going to find a scenario over here rather unbelievable, based on the discrepancy of numbers, where the mazik himself now is going to benefit from the damage. And the Gemara says, and that's patently absurd. Shezeh niskar, that they have the omer, and just in case that wasn't enough of an argument to say that to sell both animals and to split the proceeds of both animals is absurd, because the mazik is going to benefit. Furthermore, shalem mishalem, balim mishalem vein balim notlim. And then as a secondary point, you know the Torah says that when you're a mazik, you pay, you don't get paid. So, my v'omer, and that second point, by the way, seems to be, it's a great point, but it seems to be superfluous, because the Gemara already made it in the first point. V'chitem ahani mili, hecha di'ikab seda l'nizak, ava hecha d'leikab seda l'nizak kigon. So the Gemara says, but, let's say we have a circumstance in which, let's say, not only is the mazik going to be benefiting from the damage, but let's say the nizak is also going to be benefiting from the damage as well. Meaning, if we could construct a scenario, and I encourage you, go through Rashi, where Rashi actually constructs a scenario. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now out of time consideration. But if you can construct a scenario in which both are going to be benefiting from the damage, both the mazik and the nizak, so then maybe that would be a scenario in which we are going to use this method of splitting both animals and distributing both the sale of both to both parties. Shor shava chamesh laim shenagach. Shor shava chamesh laim. Venevela yafe shloshim zuz. The Gemara goes to the scenario where, let's say, each animal was valued at 20 salaim, and this is, again, just an unusual scenario, but each animal starts off as being 20 salaim, and the nevela is worth 30 zuz. So the, each animal started off at 20 zuz, and the resulting carcass now is worth 30 zuz. Now again, it's just kind of hard to imagine that the carcass of the animal is going to be more than the animal as it was alive. But whatever, there was a spike in the carcass market, and now, shakel nami mazik b'shivcha. So the I might have thought then that because in this very unusual circumstance, if we were to sell both animals and distribute the proceeds of the sale of both animals, both are going to be walking away with greater than that which they originally started with. And maybe under those circumstances, that would be okay, because the nizak didn't lose. So the omer shalem yishalem balem yishalem vein balem notlim. So that's why the secondary point of no, that's also going to be ridiculous, because the mazik pays, the mazik does not benefit from damage which is done. Amle Rav Acha bar Techilah Ravim came asin al Rabbi Yehuda Tam Yisham Yoser mechatzi nezek. We're going to find under these circumstances. Here's what I meant earlier. This is where Rashi goes through the whole scenario, a case scenario. But sometimes you're going to find that according to Rav Yehuda, that in the case of Tam, you're going to be paying more than chatzi nezek. Meaning that according to Rav Yehuda, because the mazik is going to be enjoying half of the benefit of a spike in carcasses, appreciated market value of the carcasses. So sometimes what's going to end up happening is that the Tom is going to be paying more than chatzi, than half the damages. So Isla Rav Yehuda pchas shepichsu misa machzen bechai menale. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Yehuda, where are you going to have this circumstances? Mi vegam es hamesi chatzun. So the Gemara says, we're going to learn it out from the pasuk of gam es hamesi chatzun, you're also going to divide the dead animal. V'ha'afke Rav Yehuda lezen noto chatzi achai v'chatzi hames, v'zen noto chatzi achai v'chatzi hames. According to Rav Yehuda, didn't we already darshan it out? So imke nechtov kra v'es hames, my vegam sh'mami natarte. So according to Rav Yehuda, both points are going to be generated. Number one, that we're going to be splitting that the mazik is going to be paying half the damages, and point number two is that according to Rav Yehuda, if after the damages are done, the dead animal, the carcass, appreciate in value, so the mazik can benefit from the half of that appreciated value, and that'll cut his cost of how much he has to pay in terms of damages. Okay, when all said and done, let's just quickly chazer. Let's just summarize. Basically, what we have over here is machlokes and Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. On the simplest level, the debate is a question of how exactly to understand the pshat, simple pshat in the Torah. What would be the prototypical example of where damages are done by an animal that's a tam, and how those and how the mazik is going to be paying half the damages? Again, the halacha is the mazik is going to be paying half the damages. What we were looking for was a case scenario in which would perfectly illustrate the example given in the Torah. So that's a machloshim Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. At face value, they're just simply arguing over the simple pshat in the Torah, but the Gemara has come up with a nafkamina between the two of them. And that is going to be a scenario in which, after the hezek was done, the carcass went up in value. Is the mazik going to be able to benefit from that appreciated value so that he will have to pay less of the half damages? Rav Meir would say no, and Rav Yehuda would say yes. And that's the machlok, and that is the nafkamina between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. I assume the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. I assume so, that he would be able to benefit from it. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. Yesh chayv amaisa shoru pato amaisa atzmo. Pato amaisa shoru v'chayv amaisa atzmo. This is classic Mishnayos, where basically we're going to be contrasting damages done by a human versus damages done by a man. And basically, just to show that we understand the way Nezik works and all the intricacies of Nezik. So basically, we're going to illustrate scenarios in which we could do the same case by a man and you'd be chayev, and the same by an animal you'd be pater, and vice versa, and the converse as well. So the Mishnah here goes on to illustrate. Ketzad, how exactly would you see this? Shara Shabiesh. Let's say your ox embarrasses a person. Okay. The ox hits the person in a private area or other forms of embarrassment. And so your ox embarrasses a person. So putter. So the owner of the ox is not going to have to pay for boshas. We will learn in the eighth parak together that when a man damages another man, when it comes to nizke adam, so there are five payments that are required to pay in addition to the nezek, in addition to the basic damages. The damager is also going to have to pay the medical bill of disability, that's ripu and sheves, sa'ar, the pain, and boshas, and if there's any embarrassment, he has to pay for the embarrassment. And as I mentioned already a number of times, when we get to the eighth parak, we're going to learn how to assess these damages. But those are five payments that have to be paid. This is specific only when man damages. But if your animal damages, there's only one payment that you need to pay, and that's going to be nezek. So, if your animal is trying to embarrass somebody, and the Gemara later on is going to ask a very simple question, how did we know that the animal was trying to embarrass somebody? That's going to be a reasonable question. We're going to ask that question later on. The Gemara is going to ask. But anyway, in a scenario where an animal does damages, so there's no boshas payment. However, if the owner of the animal did the embarrassment, so then, because he's a man, and that's chayvin, that's nizke adam, so therefore he's going to have to pay the boshas. Shurishasimus ein avdo, vihipo eshino. Let's say the master's animal has a terrible accident, or whatever, let's say it was even intentional, and damaged the slave of the owner, where he knocked out an eye, or he knocked out a tooth. So, putter. The slave does not go free. It is only when the master himself knocks out the eye or the tooth does the slave go free. And that's exactly the next point of the Mishnah. And if the master was the one who knocked it out, so then the slave would go free. Let's say if my ox was to wound either my father or my mother, chayev. So I would have to make payment, meaning that is my property damaging my parents. Now, despite the fact that they're my parents, nezek occurred. And there was a loss. So I have to pay for that loss. So v'hu shechava b'avivimo. However, if the person himself were to wound his mother or his father, pater, he would not have to pay his parents. Reason being? That's correct. Because it is a capital crime to inflict a wound on your parents. Maka avivimo mosumas. It's a capital crime to do so. So over here we know the rule. The rule is that if I have a one act resulting in two punishments, so you give the harsher of the two punishments. That's what we call kim lebedarabamine. So over here, when you hit your parents, so you're a chayv misa, which will exempt you from having to pay. Sharish, you hit like a tzegedish b'shabbos chayev. If your ox were to light a haystack on fire on Shabbos. Now, yes, it's true that you have to be protective of your animals on Shabbos and make sure they do not violate Shabbos. However, even if you weren't careful about it, it's not a capital crime. It's a lav in the Torah, right? Shvisus behemto is a lav. So, chayev. And if your animal now did the damage on Shabbos, so you would have to pay for those damages. Even though your animal was mechal or Shabbos, but that's not a chayev misa, that's not a chayev misa. And so therefore there's only one punishment in question, and that's the payment punishment, and therefore you have to pay. However, if you go to your neighbor's house on Shabbos and you were to light the haystack on Shabbos, so then you would be exempt because you lit a fire on Shabbos. That's a melech Shabbos, that's a chiyav misa, and so therefore so you're going to be exempt from having to pay the payment of the financial payment that you were required to pay because of the principle of kimle. Tani Rabbi Abahu Kame de Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abahu taught the following brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and it goes like this. Okay, it's a simple brisa, and it reads like this. On Shabbos, so in order to successfully violate Shabbos, that's not the kind of success we want, but in order to successfully violate Shabbos, so you have to do something which is constructive. You have to do a creative act and a constructive act. And if you're doing a malacha in a destructive way, so pater. Pater meaning it's not a malacha. Pater, of course, means pater v'alasar. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but it's not a malacha. It does not qualify as a malacha. It's not a chiyuv misa if you do it intentionally. You won't be chayv carbon chatas if you do so b'shogeg. It just simply doesn't qualify as a malacha. If you do it b'derech kilkul, if you do it in a destructive manner. And there are two notable exceptions, says the Braisa. And that is making chavala, wounding somebody, and mavir, and lighting a fire. Where these two malachas are notable exceptions, in that the in that you are chayev a you're going to be chayev. Sorry, it's Florida. So you're going to be chayev a. You're going to be chayv on both those malachas, even if done in a destructive manner. Okay, that is the brisa that was said over in front of Rav Yochanan. When Rav Yochanan heard this brisa, his reaction was not favorable. Amalei prok tani levra. So Rav Yochanan says, take the brisa and go take it outside. Meaning Rav Yochanan says that this brisa does not belong here in the Beis Medrash. It's not right. Just simply not correct. So prok tani levra. So chovel chovel mavir eino mishnah. So his response is very categoric. This is not a Mishnah. Meaning that according to Rav Yochanan, even by Chavala, and even by Hever, there has to be a constructive purpose to it. And if not, it too is not going to be a Malacha. The Intim Salam or Mishnah. Now, Rav Yochanan says, now if you want to tell me that this is in fact is a Mishnah, meaning if you want to try to do a little Tchias HaMesim with the Braisa, resurrect it, give some sort of pshanit which I will be able to tolerate. So then I'll tell you this: chovo b'tzorach lekavo and mavir b'tzorach leefro. Meaning, I'll tell you that here's what I'll agree with: as long as there is some sort of residual benefit from that which you're doing, as long as it has some constructive manner to it, so then I'll agree that you will that you'll be chayef. So, for example, he gives two examples. Let's say that your dog is sick. Your dog went to the veterinarian. The veterinarian said, "Dog needs to drink blood." Okay, so you go to another animal, wound the other animal, and inflict a wound on the other animal so that your dog now could drink the blood. So that would be an example of chovel with a tzorech, with some sort of constructive need. Or, for example, let's say I need ashes right now. Okay, again, we could say it's for medicinal purposes, but I need ashes right now. So therefore, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to light a fire in order to burn this down, incinerate, in order to create the ashes. So once again, there is a side benefit of that which I'm doing, enough in which it would qualify as a malacha. Okay, and then what it would sound like in Rav Yochanan's explanation of this brisa is that by all other 37 malachas, it has to be specifically, the act itself has to be specifically constructive. Okay, now what I'm bypassing over here, although I'm just going to acknowledge it quickly that I'm bypassing it, is that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by whether or not mekalkel is pater, mekalkel is chayev, and how exactly this discussion between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan fit into the machlokes between between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So that is subject to a discussion amongst the Rishonim, how exactly this dialogue over here fits into the Machlokes HaTanayim. That is where you're going to see Tosfos on the side over here, Chovel, which goes on to the next Amud. Okay, anyway, I'm acknowledging that's an issue. But Tanan, Shor She'ilik is Ekdish B'Shabbos Chai. Back to our Gemara, we are towards the bottom of the Amud, and what did we learn in our Mishnah? That if my ox were to light a haystack on Shabbos, chayev, I would have to pay for the damages. Who should Shabbos? Pater. Now, if I light the haystack on Shabbos, so then I'm going to be pater. So side by side in the Mishnah, we have a case where my ox is lighting a haystack on fire, and I'm lighting a haystack on fire. Now, v'ketani v'hu dumya d'shara. Now, obviously, by putting these two side by side, it creates a parallel between the two cases. Masharo d'lo kabayle. Af hu nami delo kabayle. So the Gemara says, so what is pretty clear. Now your ox is lighting the haystack on fire. your ox has any purpose, any reason why he's doing so. So let's assume no. Let's assume he's doing so just simply because he's an ox, and for no other reason. So we're going to make the same assumption regarding you, meaning our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where I'm laying the haystack not because I have any greater purpose in doing so, just simply because I wouldn't like to be destructive, and that's it. And what have we learned in the Mishnah? That you don't have to pay for the damages. Why not? Because you violated Shabbos. What have we just learned together? That if I'm doing something which is strictly destructive, I'm still going to be chayiv on Shabbos because the Mishnah is teaching us on pater from having to pay the mammon. So, af hu nami delo kabay levik, tani pater mi bnei shu hu nida menavsho. So the Gemara says, that seems to be a good proof that this b'raisa that Rabbi Abahu is correct at its face value, just simply as it's presented. Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo, sharu dumi didei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we'll look at the same Mishnah, but we'll just simply invert the starting points. Look, I'm lighting it on fire, and the reason why I'm lighting it on fire is because I have a purpose in doing so. And maybe my animal also lit the haystack on fire because the animal had a purpose. And then, of course, it's going to beg the next question. What greater purpose did my animal have in lighting it on fire? So Shara Hikimishkachale, Amale Rav Avya Hakba Maiskin and Bashur Pikeh, Shaotalo Nishikha Begabo, the Kabai Lemikle, the I Gandar Bikutma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case is where my animal got bitten on the back, and my animal knows that it needs a little bit of ashes in order to heal it. So what my animal is going to do is light a haystack on fire, turn it, reduce it into ashes so that it can basically roll around in the ashes, and that's why my animal lit it on fire. So the Gemara says, Umenaya de'inan. Now the Gemara says, that's a very smart animal. How do we know that the animal was doing it for that purpose? Are we supposed to read the mind of the animal? So the Gemara says, the Basta de'kale kamigandar bekutma. Gemara says, well, in other words, just follow what the animal's doing. Meaning if after the animal lit it on fire, then the animal went ahead and rolled around in the ashes. So you see clearly that what the animal's intent was. So, umi'ika ki'agavna, the Gemara says, now this is a great constructed scenario. But basically the Gemara is asking, really? Really? Like that's this is going to happen? So the Gemara says it is not out of the world of possibility. In the Gemara says, absolutely. Da'itur da'have be Rav Papa. Now, Rav Papa had an ox. Now, you'll know that Rav Papa made his fortunes as a brewer, right? Rav Papa was one of the original brewers, and the Gemara elsewhere says that he made a lot of money brewing. And da'have kichin lei chinchei. So the animal had a terrible toothache. And va'ailu patkel in his yasa. And so what the barrel did, what the ox did is that he opened the barrel of the beer, v'shasi shechra v'itse, and did basically a oral rinse with the beer of Rav Papa. And he did that in order to heal himself. So basically what the Gemara says is that yes, animals have in some sort of intuitive nature of knowing what their ailment is and how they can heal. And we have an anecdote, although it's not exactly the same, but it doesn't matter. Okay, right. You're such a scientist. I mean, I happen to love it, but okay. The Gemara is therefore assuming that the animal knows, and the animal knows how to heal itself. And so over here, it's not so far fetched. Am Rabban Kamed Rav Papa Mimatzis Amar Shara Dumi Didei Vaktarna Shara Shabiyish Pater Vehu Shabiyish Chayev. So the Gemara says now this pshat in the Mishnah becomes very difficult when you consider that also what was discussed in the Mishnah is a scenario in which the animal was embarrassing, much like you're embarrassing. Now, I foreshadowed the question when we learned the Mishnah, but now let's speak the question out. Really, your animal is ready to embarrass somebody? Your animal is intent on embarrassing somebody? Gemara says, your animal was intent on damaging somebody, but embarrassing somebody? So the Gemara says, Where are we going to find a scenario in which your animal was intent on embarrassing somebody? How do we know that your animal actually had in his mind, get ready for this one, because I'm going to embarrass this guy. We cannot imagine a scenario in which we're going to know the animal had that kind of intent. So the Gemara says, Kigoshin is kind of lahasik. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? That's not such a big question. Because the halacha is, and again, we're going to learn this in the 8th parak. The halacha is that the busha payment is going to result as, you don't need to have intent to embarrass. All you need is intent to damage. Once you have intent to damage, that's enough to incur the busher payment. The Amar Marn is kavin lehazik, Alpha Bishal is kavin levayish. If you have intent to damage, even if you didn't specifically have intent to embarrass, you're still going to have the embarrassment payment. So the Gemara says that's very simple. So when it comes to the animal now, as long as the animal had intent to damage, and that's generally true by Karen, that's niskavin lehazik, so then there theoretically would be a busha payment. It just happens to be that for animals there is no busha payment. But at least that's all you need in order to incur the busha payment. Okay. That takes us all through answer number one of the Gemara. So again, question on the table. Question on the table is this brisa that we had of mekalkel bechabura, that if I damage while inflicting a wound, or if I damage while lighting a fire. So the brisa says that even though it's purely destructive in nature, you are going to be putter, it's not going to be chil Shabbos. And we ask the question, well, if that's true, then how did you understand our Mishnah? First of all, Rav Yochanan out of hand rejected the brisa. And also, the Rav Yochanan said, maybe, well, the brisa is talking about a case where there's some sort of constructive nature involved. And so what we have been doing so far up until now is explaining our Mishnah that when the animal lit the haystack on fire, maybe there was some sort of constructive nature to the act in which the animal did. And we know that because after lighting the haystack on fire, the animal rolled around in the haystack. Okay.
Can I show you?
Yeah.
Why can't you say that the owner of the animal benefited from the fire of the second animal? So he's benefiting from the animal's fire.
I mean,
he owns the animal.
Right. Oh, and have that the case of benefit.
Right.
Okay, but it's somebody else's haystack, so it's a little bit hard to argue. Okay, I'll think more about it. Rava Amar Miskavein Bishogeg. I'm sorry. What just happened? Shalos Kavim Lavash. Rava Amar Masnisin. Sorry, what has just happened is I didn't see. Rava Amar Masnisin B'Shogeg. Okay, so Rava would tell you like this. You know what? I have another way to explain. This is Rava's explanation. I have another way to explain the Mishnah, and it's really simple, and it's super straightforward. And look, it can be that Rav Yochanan's rejection of the Brice is absolutely correct. That really, if you, if when it comes to fire and when it comes to chavala, there has to be some sort of constructive nature in order for it to be a malacha. But in terms of our Mishnah, it does not challenge our understanding of the Mishnah whatsoever. Because here's the halacha. When you violate Shabbos and you also have a financial payment, even if you're not going to be on the books for chilul Shabbos, it's still going to potter you from the financial payment. The Gemara says this is Kedetan de Bechiskia. This is taught to us by Tan de Bechiskia. Detan de Bechiskia Maka, Adama Maka Behema. The Torah describes the infliction of a wound on a person and the infliction of the wound of an animal. Ma Maka Behema lo chilakta ba ben shogi ben mezid. Now, when it comes to wounding an animal, it doesn't matter whether it was done unintentionally or intentionally. Bein miskaven l'shem miskaven, with intent or without intent. Bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, whether you're going up or whether you're going down. L'potro mamon ela l'chayva mamon. In other words, you're always going to be chayv, you're always going to be liable. Av make adam lo tachlok bo, bein shogin l'meizah, bein miskaven l'shem miskaven, bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, l'chayva mamon ela l'potro mamon. And that means that the same thing is going to be true when damaging a person. When damaging a person, it's always going to be you're always going to be exempt when there's a capital crime that comes together with it. So Amar le Rav on the Rava. So the Chachamim say to Rava, Mimasas mukmin la b'shogeg v'ham imneshi nidam b'nafshon katani. Now what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, nidam b'nafshon. The Mishnah seems to be saying that you're going to be exempt from the monetary payment because you are going to be liable. To which the Gemara says, "Hachikamer kevin demezin nidam benafshal veechidam dekabay laafro hashta b'shogeg pater." So the Gemara says, "Well, that's exactly what the Mishnah means." Meaning, because this act could result in Chilul Shabbos if you had a constructive purpose to it. So once the act could result in Chilul Shabbos, so then the act is always going to potter you from the financial liability. Rava says that's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. And then we don't have to, then Rav Yochanan's right. Meaning, let's reject the Braisa. The Braisa says that when it comes to Chavala and Hever, so there has to, the Braisa says it doesn't have to be constructive, it could be destructive. And Rav Yochanan says that's patently absurd. And take the Braisa outside. And Rav Yochanan's right. And in terms of the principle of Kim Le B'Derabe Mineg, even if this particular act is not going to be a Chilul Shabbos, but because it could result in Chilul Shabbos, it potters you from the money. This is how Rav is going to treat the Mishnah and defend Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan's rejection of the Braisa. Let's quickly recap. Today what we did is we finished up our discussion of the payment of Tom. How exactly is Tom paid out? So what we learned this morning is that half damages capped at the animal, which we've said already a number of times. The new halacha we learned today in this machlokchin Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is whether or not the mazik can benefit if there is a appreciation of the value of the market value of the carcass after the damage is done. Can the mazik benefit at least half of that appreciation? And that's the machlokchin Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda says yes, the mazik can. And then what we went on to discuss today is contrasting scenarios where an animal will do damage and be liable, a person will do the same damage and be exempt, and vice versa. And in what we also learned today is that the Rav Yochanan hears a brisa that when it comes to Melech HaShabbos, it has to be constructive, except for Chavala and for Hever. Rav Yochanan says, I disagree with that brisa on principle. He rejects that brisa altogether. And then after he rejected the brisa, how did you understand our Mishnah when our Mishnah clearly talks about cases of both Chavala and of Hever, and the Mishnah says we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei. So basically there are two approaches in the Mishnah. One is that there was some sort of constructive purpose in the Mishnah, just not mentioned in the Mishnah, but there was some sort of constructive purpose in the Mishnah, and we're going to know that because the animal rolled around the ashes after it lit the haystack on fire. Or two, more fundamentally, is that our Mishnah is talking about, well, there was no constructive purpose, but the rule of Kimlei is such that as long as the act could result in Chilul Shabbos, it's always going to exempt you from the monetary payment.